This chapter is now open for comment. I'd like to thank our brother for his words. David? Grandpa?
The thing that impresses me in this chapter, and it's true in ecclesial life, is there's work for all. All are needed. And there is plenty to be done. And seeing this wall done, you know, part by part, piece by piece, that's how it came together in 52 days. The Arabs, the surrounding people, were shocked. They were actually horrified to think that the work prospered like that. It was a major undertaking to build a wall of a city that, according to the Arabs, had been known as a seditious city, a city that had worked rebellion. That's why they were so afraid of it being rebuilt. But the work went on. The people had a mind to work. They worked diligently. Oh, there were those that complained. I think the strength of the bearers of the burdens of Judah, they complained and murmured. They said their strength was decayed. But that didn't stop the work. The work kept on. So what we have to do is, even though the going may get rough at times, we've got to keep going, keep working. Pray for strength, pray for guidance and help. God will open the way for you so that you can endure. He never puts a trial upon us, but what he makes a way of escape. And that way is through Christ. So there is a way for us to endure the hardships, no matter how hard things get going. If the trials are hard and sharp, then obviously they're needed, because God sees much further down the road, even to all eternity. So it's for us to yield to Him. Yielding pacifieth great offenses. And if we just relax and be still and know that God is Yahweh, we can draw strength even from that alone. The strength, the real strength, comes from His Word. And through our faith and trust in Him, no matter how hard things get.
JP.
Somebody tell me what the fish gate was.
The question, what was the fish gate? Ben, do you have up your hand? Philip.
I think Brother Justin is really testing our spiritual intellect here in these questions he's coming forward with, and I must admit I've not really got a specific answer on that. I've assumed that it got its name from that which was probably traded within it, that the walls in the city, or the gates rather, in the city wall would have been used for different things, as Brother Adam brought out, the sheep gates in there, it was a gate which was probably used where the sheep were assembled, ready for the various offerings on the various days and feasts and things like that. So maybe some of the other brethren have got some comments on that. So I think some of the gates took their names based on what they were particularly used for. So maybe the fish was actually brought from Sea of Galilee and actually was sold, or you know, stored in that particular gate, and that's what they would have got. Similarly with some of the other gates, I mean, there were refuse gates, which were actually where the refuse of the city, the dung and things, were disposed of, and they maybe they were used and got their names from that. As I'm on my feet, providing Brother Michael allow me to continue the comments, I'd like to offer my thanks to Brother Adam. I thought he did a capital job of a very difficult chapter. When you look at chapter 3 and you just see various names and various things and almost like repetitive ideas. You can sometimes, when we're doing a daily reading, sort of switch off. And I think Brother Adam has really encouraged us to be very much switched on. And has shown us a terrific amount of exhortation based upon what might seem a very mundane chapter. As Brother Adam has pointed out to us, there were various people engaged in the work. There were nobles, there were rulers, there were Levites, there were priests, there were goldsmiths, there were merchants, and there were common people. It didn't matter what station they were at. I mean, who would think of a noble actually getting their hands dirty? I'm not actually sure what the etymology of the word noble is, but it just strikes me of nobility. But we think of the parable of that Jesus gave of the man going down to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, and the priest comes along and he doesn't want to be bothered with the man who's been beaten up, and then the Levite comes along. It is too low a thing for them to get involved with that. And one from a natural point of view, you look at certainly what it's like in Britain, there are certain nobility who certainly wouldn't get involved in what the common people would be involved in. But here was a task which brought everyone down to a common level. It didn't matter if you were nobility, it didn't matter if you were in the priesthood class or the Levites. You had a work to do which brought you down onto an equal footing with everyone else. That's like us in the truth. Some of us we know we've got doctors here, we've got office workers here, we've got manual labourers here. And it just doesn't matter what particular station of life we're in. The truth levels us all. It brings us down to a common level. When we come under the tabernacle here, or when we're in our ecclesias, it doesn't matter what we've got. We might have got highly intelligent degrees in this, or we might have got, we've known brethren in the past who've actually been taught to read by the scriptures. And they've got no particular education, but boy, do they understand what the Bible taught. And this is the beauty of the truth. And the beauty of this chapter that Brother Adam has brought out to us. We're all brought down to a common level, and we've all got a work to do, and that work is building. And Brother Adam has said that sometimes it can be discouraging, and I think from human nature, sometimes you might be in ecclesial environments, and you might be engaged in doing something, and you look around and you think, well, nobody else is doing what I'm doing or whatever. And that's not the point. And Brother Adam has really brought a forcible exhortation for us with the nobles here. They didn't put their necks to the work. But that's not, we're not to take our cue from them. We're to take our cue, as he said, from the Tekoites, who actually finished their own job early and got on with something else. It's a really positive outlook. And I think Brother Adam has provided us with a positive aspect of really getting down and trying to work. And of course, we mentioned this morning the rubble and all the things which were hindering the work, the destruction that had taken place by the Babylonians. That was relatively easy to do. To actually break down the city walls, it was pretty difficult when you itemized it, but destructive work is very easy. I mentioned helping Brother David this morning. I got a hammer and chisel, when he was working. It was really, really easy to sort of smash away at things. When you start building, that's really, really difficult, because then you've got to sort of like take out a tape measure, start measuring things carefully, get in the right kind of material, and you've really got to start being careful in what you're doing. And it requires a lot of skill and care. And it's far harder than just destructive work. Construction is much more difficult. And I think Brother Adam has shown us how we can actually do that, and that's doing it together. I think if I was to pick on one word that would summarise chapter 3, it would be together, or togetherness. Because that wall of Jerusalem was not built by the nobles, or it wasn't built by the selected priesthood or by the goldsmiths. It was built by everybody, and that's a huge exhortation for each one of us. We've all got our bit to do.
Brother Burrell.
Well, not to be too destructive to Brother Phillips' comments, sorry, but He started off by the gates, by the names of the gates, and said it was the things traded in there. I'm not sure. I don't honestly know either, but I think it's what was taken in and out of the gates. It was what was brought in, like the sheep gate sheep came in and out of. Because as he made that comment, I was looking at another verse, and it was concerning, I was going to make a comment concerning Malchiah, the son of Rechab. And he was repairing the dung gate, so I'm not sure about that trading, just because of what was, I think it's more taken in and out. But when you look at that verse, you see a name, and a lot of the verses in here is this person repaired this gate, this person repaired that gate. And I agree with Brother Philip, Brother Adam did a wonderful job taking verses like that and making a good exhortation out of it. But when you look at that verse, you see a name, and you don't think about that was a person, that was somebody who was in the Scripture. And since our readings this month are in Jeremiah, if we turn to the 35th chapter and the 18th and 19th verses, we read, Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord, God of hosts, Lord of hosts, God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. And here we find a son of Rechab rebuilding the house. And usually when the scriptures point out and say stand before God, it means a lot more than just to stand there. It means generally to hold a position of responsibility. Now here's and here he is in charge of the repairing of that particular gate. So it's prophecy being foretold, and when we come to the kingdom age, no doubt there's going to be Rechabites rebuilding in the temple era. So as saints. The names, there's something behind these names, and it's important that we take the time to study them, to look them up, and when we see them, and not just gloss over them as, okay, this person built a gate or repaired a gate. This person was actually descended from a fairly interesting, fairly interesting prophecy or a fairly interesting prophecy in Jeremiah, if we take the time to think about what's being presented to us.
We have time for a couple more comments. Brother Curtis has his hand up.
Just a comment on the fish gate he asked about. I have that it was on the northeast corner opposite Joppa, from whence came fish from the Great Sea. So that would be the Mediterranean Sea instead of the other one. And then the other comment I have was one given by Brother Peter Small in 2007. He talks about Barak, and I wish I could give the comment like Peter would, but I can't. But he says that Barak means blessed. He says in verse 20, he earnestly repaired. He's next to Meremoth, and he says that he earnestly glowed, blazed up in zeal. He was on fire for the truth. Wouldn't it be great for that to be said of us? That should be our goal. Barak was outstanding in devotion.
Brother Dan?
Yeah, Brother Curtis actually said exactly what I was going to say about the fish gate. To settle Brother Burrow's mind, the dung gate is actually where they used to haul the garbage out, I believe, to Gehenna and throw away the rubbish. It's interesting that happens to be the sixth gate, which is the number of man. But just in addition to that, in verse 1, it opens up there with Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they built the sheep gate. It's interesting that we see the high priest and then the priests and then building the sheep gate. It's showing that they were to set the example for the rest of the people in building the sheep gate. I guess in a sense that we're all sheep. We look to our high priest, Christ, who set the example for us. Although Eliashib, I think later on in chapter 13 or so, he ended up siding with Tobiah, which would almost give us an indication that he was much like the scribes and the Pharisees that sided with the Romans when they wanted to get rid of Christ. But anyways, it's an interesting start to the chapter, and I also believe that Brother Adam did a great job. I looked at that chapter and think there's no way he could have volunteered for that chapter, so I bet you they gave it to you. But thanks, Brother Adam.
We're out of time, but does anybody else have a short comment they'd like to make? Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I appreciated the conclusion he gave to the application, saying that they built the old Jerusalem, and we need to be building the new Jerusalem. The Bible says we're living stones being built into a habitation of God in the Spirit. So that was an excellent application, and he gave at the end there.
Could you repeat that first part again? Because the speaker was off, and it was a good comment, and I'd like everybody to get to hear it.
I just said I appreciated the conclusion that he and the application that he gave to it, how that we need to be building the new Jerusalem.